the notion of describing certain causes for national disasters is not something that we take lightly. It's something that we shy away from, b'zman hazeh. It's something that you have to turn to someone who has nevuah, someone who has ruach hakodesh, someone chazal, people who had such a true understanding of the way events unfold in this world before one can even begin to make such a statement as to a certain event occurred related to such and such a problem. And yet, we follow the words and the footsteps of Chazal, and we look to Chazal, we look to the holy insights of Chazal to try to understand a little bit more about what some of the background causes what are certain national catastrophes. And this one about the Churban, so we know there are many Mamari Chazal that seem pretty straightforward, by Srisham Mishchor for this, and by Shem Mishchor for that. And then all of a sudden, almost sticking out as an enigma, is the Gemara Masechtas Nedarim. Rabbi Twersky spoke a little bit about the other night. But Chazal commented on the Pasuk, Ma Avda Aretz. Why, in effect, was Eretz Yisrael destroyed? Why did the Churban come about? Why are we Otot about to commemorate Tisha B'Av? Hopefully not, but if we do, Ma Avda Aretz. So the Gemara tells us that it was very difficult to know what the answer to that question was. It was such a difficult question that the Nevi'im didn't quite know the answer. The Chacham didn't know the answer. The Malachi Asharis didn't know the answer. Only the Rebbeinu Shlomo knew the answer. Al-Ozva Misteirasi. Because Klal Yisrael forsake the Torah. So of course the question is obvious that forsake the Torah, you don't need a Navi for that. You don't need a Malach for that. You don't need the Rebbeinu Shlomo for that. Any Tom, Dick, and Harry can figure that out. There must be something deeper. So Chazal tell us, Ashlo Bircha B'Torah Tchila. That because they didn't recite Birchas HaTorah, that was ultimately responsible for the Churban. So sometimes, you know, when we say a Shir, Lomdus, Halacha, the Sugi, the Gemara, so we come up with a good Kasha, we give a good Teretz, and Teretz is so good, it sounds like Kasha was almost a silly Kasha. So now, we're not quite sure. Well, wait a second. We had this bomb Kasha before, you know, Amma of the Aretz. We said Shlo Bircha B'Torah Tchila, huh? If we were learning a sugya, if I asked this kash and shir, and somebody, if I would ask Amal Doris, and you would say to me, Shalom Birch Matar Tchima, I would say, try again. I say, that's a terrible teretz. There's got to be an Eidish Shalom, got to be a better teretz than that. It's a dochik teretz. What does it mean? I don't even understand it. Shalom Birch Matar Tchima. So I want to spend a little bit of time today giving several mahalchim, perhaps if time gives us three mahalchim, to understand what the significance of Amal Doris is all about, and what the deeper meaning of the answer of the Rebbeinu Shalom was. Rabbi Twersky gave a beautiful mahalach the other night. We'll try to go a little bit of different mahalachim as to what exactly Amma Avda Aretz Shlo Bircha B'Torah Tchila is all about. So I'll start off with something which is close to hand, this cup of water. This cup of water. It's a lumdish of Shaila, Hilchos Brachos, about this cup of water. Baruch Hashem, it happened to me, I was a little bit thirsty. I like the drink. Dr. told me I should always drink when I speak. It's good for the vocal cords. So I usually have a cup of water when I'm giving a shiur. Those of my shul know that the hardest shiurim for me to give are the shiurim on the second night of Yontif because you're not allowed to drink water before Kiddush. So I have to speak for 45 minutes without drinking. But so Shabbos, since I'm not so bad, because you can drink water technically before Havdalah. So everyone knows all the lumdus, which shiurim are easy for me to give, hard for me to give. So now I'm a little bit thirsty. Why is it important that I was thirsty? Because a person drinks water just because they want to keep their throat lubricated, just to protect the vocal cords. One doesn't make a bracha on that water. Gemara Mishnah says, Maseches Brachas, you only make a bracha on water, shosemayim letzamo, only if you're really thirsty. If you eat other foods, even if I'm not particularly hungry, I'm munching on a chocolate bar, so I make a bracha shakal. If I'm not really hungry, but I'm just a little nashi, I buy myself an iced coffee or something, so I make a shakal. But water doesn't really have a taste, so the only thing you can make a bracha on water on is if it's shosemayim letzamo, if it's something that you're really thirsty about. So that's why those who know from my shiurim in yeshiva, so I always take a little something, a little shahakal, a little candy, a little something before shiur starts. Usually the guys don't even see I do it in my office. Make a little bracha and something. That way I don't have to try to figure out in the middle of the shiur, am I really thirsty, not really thirsty, so zozayim. But a shol samayim with someone makes a bracha, a shol samayim shalol with someone doesn't make a bracha. Mishnah says, in Pirkei Avos, avishosi b'tzomas divrayim, we're supposed to drink with thirst the words of the chachamim. As the Pesukim tell us in Yeshayahu, those who are thirsty should go to water. Water here doesn't only mean physical water, it means Torah, the water of Torah. Many of us are learning Maseches Megillah, learning the Sugars of Kriyas HaTorah. So Chazal tell us, where did Kriyas HaTorah come from? Because you can't go 3 days without water. You know what happens when you go 3 days without water? You die in the desert. Anyone been in Eilat recently? Anyone gone to Yulim lately? It's got some more heavy pack. Anyone going to Darj in the next couple of days? Bring a lot of water. Okay? Because the water in Darja ain't gonna want to touch that. Okay? So if there's any water there. So Rabbi say, when you drink water without thirst, there's no bracha. When you drink water when you're thirsty, Shlo Berach B'Torah Tchila, I'd like to suggest, means they learned Torah, but it wasn't the learning Torah B'Toch Tzama. It wasn't Tzamanav Shel Hashem. It wasn't the learning Torah with a Geshmach. It wasn't learning the Torah with someone who's really, really thirsty. You know what it feels like. You play ball for an hour and a half. You didn't have a chance to take a cup of water. Finally, you get off the court. You take that. You gozled al azag Geshmach. That's water. You know, you sit in a chasana, and you're bored, and you know the first dance is starting in another 4 hours, and you're sitting around and waiting. You ate 6 pickles already, and you know you're done already. What else can you possibly do? You finished Tafiyahim, you finished Bimah Besedra, and there's nothing else to do. You made all your phone calls, you spoke to your parents for an hour and a half. What else could you do? So inevitably, see, it depends. If you're a bachar, so you end up getting yourself a cup of soda. If you're married and your wife's sitting next to you, so you take one cup of water, and another cup of water, and a third cup of water. By the time you get to the 6th cup of water, you're not thirsty anymore. You're still drinking the water because there's nothing else to do. So some people's Torah is like the 6th cup of water at a chasana, and other people's Torah is the water after a full 3-on-3 and you feel like you're on the floor. Rabbi say, Shlo Berach B'Torah Tchila. How can you tell, what's the litmus test, whether you learn that Torah is B'Tzom or not, if you made a bracha? If you made a bracha, that's a makala. That shows to me there was a limit of Torah B'Toch, Tzom B'Toch thirst. You know, we've been speaking in Halacha in the last couple of days, couple of weeks, about Birchas HaTorah. So if you look at the Nusach of Birchas HaTorah, there are a few very, very strange things, a couple of enigmas about the bracha of Birchas HaTorah. We open up with the Shekidishan Mitzvah Zalasa with the Besorah, or Sfarim, or Divrei Torah, different Nischos and the Rishonim. And then all of a sudden, right smack, according to many Rishonim, it's the same bracha. Remember, we even spoke about this, some Rishonim say it's the same bracha, different bracha, but right smack in the middle of the Seyda Dvarim of Birchas HaTorah, we start getting on a tangent. And we start asking the Rebbe Shalom, the Harif No Hashem Lekedis Divrei Torah Eschavinu. Please, Rebbe Shalom, I want to enjoy learning Torah. It's a beautiful tefillah. I like it. I'm all for it. It's nice for your mothers and your wives to say it when you're Shlecht. You know, it's like, Kein Legal, Lebonim, Nebonim. It's a beautiful tefillah. What does it have to do with Birchas HaTorah? Birchas HaTorah is, you know, my heart cold litvak. When I make a bracha l'aniach tefillin, I don't say, please, Rebbe Shalom, let this tefillin be geshmak. Let me really feel. Let me really love it. It's going to be sweet. Nice. Maybe, whatever, the Makar is whatever. You know, there's the Chassidish version, the Litvish version. You know, the Chassidish version is Mitzvah Gedal Elias B'Simcha Tomid, and the Litvish version is Simcha Gedal Elias B'Mitzvah Tomid. But whatever, whichever version you like, they're both okay, both nice. But when you make a bracha mitzvahs, we don't throw in these nice, cutie kinds of tefillahs like, Rosh, let me have a good time while I'm at it. When you sit down by Ichlis Matzah by the Seder, that's all there is, there ain't no more. I'm not advocating doing mitzvahs cold, I'm not advocating doing mitzvahs without a geshmach. We do. And I want you to have a geshmach when you eat that matzah. And I want you to feel the tremendous kibbutz alakim when you hear that shayk, when you shake that luv. I want that. We all want that. But the nuscha bracha is hardcore facts. Asher kiddushonim tzadu, alachilis matzah, alachilis luv, leisha besukah, laniach tefillin. And all of a sudden, we come to the bracha birchas haTorah. The harif no Hashem lekedis divrei Torah eschavinu. Please, Rebbe Shalom, let's have a great time. What we're doing? What's pshat? Anyone ever think of that? What's going on? To make matters worse or harder, we spoke a little bit about also in halacha that if you forgot birchas haTorah in the morning, no big deal. Just make the bracha of Avarabba. Avarabba. Avarabba is a very, very strange birchas haTorah. We alluded to it a little bit in the shir in halacha. Very strange birchas haTorah. The bulk of Avarabba doesn't even express the mitzvah of Tamat Torah per se. I mean, we mentioned it a little bit, but the bulk of the bracha, the main theme of the bracha is Avas Hashem. Avarabba, how Kodesh Baruch Hu loves us, and we love him. Why is that Birchas HaTorah? So there is a famous word of the Sefer Eglei Tal. Eglei Tal was written by, also known as the Avnei Nezer, also known as the Sokhachov Rebbe. A Rebbe. The Avnei Nezer, i.e. the Eglei Tal, wrote a sefer. He wrote many tshuvos, shas tshuvos Avnei Nezer. He wrote a classic Hilchos Shabbos. We've quoted those who come to the Hilchos Shabbos chaburos before mincha. We've quoted many things from the Eglei Tal. He wrote the Eglei Tal. It was like a brisker. Lomdes to dinim this that. I'm sure. Became the classic sefer Hilchos Shabbos. Adayem Nezer. And it's like doma to the sefer Eglei Tal. He has a mind-boggling concept. He draws you two illustrations of two people learning Torah. He draws you an illustration of one person learning Torah who really can't stand what he's doing. I don't like the Rashi, I don't like the Taisa, I don't like the Rashi, I'm not having a good time. But he plugs away, he comes to Seder on time, he doesn't get a nice coffee in the middle, he sits for an hour and a half, 2 hours, 3 hours, he sits, he sweats, he works, and you ask him at the end of the day, how was your morning? Terrible. When his parents ask him, how was the summer? Horrible. But I learned all day. I didn't leave my Spanish. I learned all day here of Elayla, but I had a miserable time. That's one picture of Limud HaTorah. Then you have another picture of Limud HaTorah. The guy's on fire. The guy's going nuts. You can see he can't stop. He said, Rashi said this, Taisa Takasha. It's a two dinim, yen dinim, Rambam, Ravid, Minchas, Chenechem, Chayim. This guy's having the time of his life. And he's learning Torah all day. So at the end of the summer, who fulfilled? I didn't ask you who had a better summer. I didn't ask you who's going to come back to my call next year. I asked you one question. Who fulfilled the mitzvah of Talmud Torah, Behidura, and who did not? Now, the emphasis is they both fulfilled Talmud Torah. But who got a greater kiyum and lomdus in Talmud Torah? The guy who sweated and couldn't stand what he was doing, or the guy who was just having a party? The guy's like, he's like on the roller coaster that's never ending. So if you would have asked me, I would have said, the guy who mamish worked on from Zaragra, he was so miserable in what he did, and he still plugged away. That's what I would have said. That's why I'm not Sisha Rebbe, that's why I didn't write the Sefer Leital. Zavtek Leital, nay, the opposite is true. It's a big mistake, says the Leital. People think that the more it hurts you to learn, the greater Mesiris Nefesh it is, it's a greater mitzvah. Wrong. Mamish, dead wrong. Zavtek Leital, a part of the mitzvah of Talmud Torah is the Hanor Shavoy, is the enjoyment in the Talmud Torah. The mitzvah is the Hanos Medivrei Torah. You don't see mitzvah of Hanos Medivrei Talmud Torah. The mitzvah of Talmud Torah is to enjoy, to be geschmack. That is the chelach from the mitzvah of Talmud Torah. And why is that? Where'd that come from? What's the mocker for that? He writes it. He doesn't give you a mocker. I'll tell you what the mocker is. The feeling is that the mocker is very poshut. The mocker is the poshut in Chumash. We say it twice a day, three times a day. The hafas Hashem lakecha. Zok the Sifrei, the Me Oyevai. How do you love the Rebbeinu Shalom? Chiddush. How you love the Rebbeinu Shalom? There used to be, it's not so common anymore. It used to be the very famous bumper sticker, and all the back of the cars in Eretz Yisrael. It used to say, Hakadosh Baruch Hu, Anachnu Ohavim Otcha. It's just Hakadosh Baruch Hu. You just stop at a red light. The guy in front of Hakadosh Baruch Hu, Anachnu Ohavim Otcha. We love you. It used to be a hit at weddings. It's not so popular anymore. Hakadosh Baruch Hu. Eli, you probably remember this, right? Hakadosh Baruch Hu, Anachnu. You don't sing anymore, right? It's not a hidden song anymore, right? These songs come and go. You know, within 3 months, it's a whole repertoire. I learned that all the chassidus songs changed. I'll tell you why. When I was in Avelis with my father a few years ago, so I didn't go to any chassidus for a whole year. The first chassidus I went to after the year of Avelis, I felt like I was somebody not from in a wedding. I didn't know any of the songs. Mamash, after Odi Shama, it was like a whole new. You don't realize it because in every chassidus they throw in a new one and they sing, you know, the last 10 old ones, and then slowly but surely they weed out the old ones. After a whole year, there's mamash home, but nobody chop because it went so slowly on you. It's like when you see a kid growing up, you don't realize. He used to be a baby, now he's big. But when you don't see him in 6 years, then he's very, very big. So anachnu avim adcha. So you ever stop and you how do you love the Rebbeinu Shalom? Anachnu avim adcha. So the Sifrei says it's no great chochma. How do you avoid the Rebbeinu Shalom? You sit in the Torah. You read the Tosfos. Anachnu avim adcha. Masof midvash. It's beautiful. It's sweet as honey. Sweeter than honey. Masof midvash. That's the mocha for the Sekhutah. That Hanon Divrei Torah is a chelek from the mitzvah. It's a kiyum in the mitzvah. And that expressed itself in both Birchas Torah. It expressed itself in the Birchas of Ava Rabba, Dafka through the Lashon of Ava, and that's why we stick in Bahar Ivna. Because Bahar Ivna is not something which is external to Talmud Torah. Bahar Ivna is part of the mitzvah. We say to Rebbeinu Shel Olam, we're about to fulfill the mitzvah, Shekh Kedishon and Mitzvah, it's been a last thing of the Beseira. Here's how we're going to do it. Bahar Ivna. If you want to put it into real Lomdish terminology, Simcha Shel Mitzvah is a separate kiyum. I put on tefillin whether I'm happy or not. There's a mitzvah putting on tefillin. It's a beautiful, if there's a simcha, it's a nice thing to be happy when you do mitzvah. It's a beautiful wall for being happy. But it's not an integral part of the kiyum of the Shmiras HaMitzvahs. Talmud Torah, the Hanon, the Simcha, the Av HaShavoy, defines the very essence of the mitzvahs. Shlo Bircha B'Torah Tchila means they drank the water, but it was the sixth cup at the Chasana. It wasn't the water after running the marathon. Shlo Bircha, you don't make a bracha on that water. When Torah isn't mitzama, wasn't mitzach ava, isn't mitzach simcha, mitzach cheshek, and love and excitement and enthusiasm, there's no bracha. Let's suggest a different mahalach. All the mahalach I think are correct. a second mahalach. Second mahalach shabich b'tachila is taken right out of Rabbeinu Yonah, the Ran of Masechet Nedarim on the spot, quotes from Rabbeinu Yonah. And after he quotes this prat, he says, Ru'uyim ha'dvarim l'misha omram. Rabbeinu Yonah, he was known as Rabbeinu Yonah ha'chosid, before the chassidim, Rabbeinu Yonah ha'chosid, Ru'uyim ha'dvarim l'misha omram. Zok to Rabbeinu Yonah, you know what a mishla b'rech b'tachila? They learned Torah, they wouldn't have learned Torah. I didn't need Rabban Shalom to tell me I'm off the arts. Anyone could have figured out on their own. They learned Torah, Zik Rabbeinu Yonah. They learned Basma the Rabbah. They got 100 holy bechinas. But there was a lack of appreciation of Chashivas HaTorah. They didn't appreciate. A bracha is on a Tov HaChoshuv. They didn't think the Torah was worthwhile. Make a bracha, leave a bracha on. It's not a real mitzvah. It's not a real thing. I'm enjoying it. I'm good. It's a Tais Rasha, Tais Rabbah. But it's not a Tov HaChoshuv. Tov HaChoshuv doesn't warrant a bracha. So I want to understand a little bit in moments. What does it mean Tov HaChoshuv? What does it mean that I grant Chashivas to Torah? And what does it mean that I detract from Chashivas and Torah? So there's a principle in Halacha called Bittul. We find this term, the halachic term, Bittul. We find there are many, many different areas of halacha. You're Moshe, you're probably all familiar with some of the basic times we apply the rule of Bittul. There's Bittul B'shishim. I'm cooking a big pot of chicken soup, a little bit of chaza falls in, is it kosher, is it treif? Oh, Baruch Hashem, it's Bittul B'shishim. More than 60 times kosher, a little bit of treif. But everything's good, Gaval, Shemutter. Bittul B'shishim. There's been a Bittul Chametz, called Chamir, B'chamir, Digi B'shus, Libat, of Levi Kaf, Adiyah. There's another din of Bittul, Bittul Avodah Zarah. Somebody worshipped an idol. A goy worshipped an idol. So I get another goy who give the idol a kick and say, yeah, this is an Avodah Zarah. You want an Avodah Zarah? Find an Avodah Zarah. This is not an Avodah Zarah. It's garbage. I've been mevatel it. My whole life I once had to deal with one shiloh of Bittul Avodah Zarah. One time, somebody in my community told me they had just bought a house in the community. And when they signed the closing, so the owner was a goy. So the owner said, oh, wow, it finally happened. It really worked. I said, what really worked? What did I just get duped into? I just signed it. He said, yeah, let me tell you what happened. I was having some trouble selling the house, and I was told that if I dig a hole in the backyard, and I put this special voodoo doll or something or other in the backyard, so that's going to give special powers, and I'm going to get a siyat d'shmaya, whatever you want to call it. I shouldn't say it. I'll have them in the tunnel of the door. I'm going to sell the house, and the taco worked. Wow. Very nice to hear. So the guy came running from the closing, runs into shul and says to me, Rabbi, I think I have a Avodah Zarah on my property. What am I supposed to do? So I said, well, get rid of it. He said, I asked the guy, where is he? The guy doesn't remember. It's a Kevish Eilo Tzion. He didn't remember where it was. So I said, dig up, go get a bulldozer, dig up the whole backyard. He said, somewhere, give out Losavi Sameva Bisecha. The real thing, not to Aves TV. Real, the real McCoy. Losavi Sameva Bisecha. Used to be the old joke about Losavi Sameva Bisecha. That's Rosh Tevs for TV. To Aves. Losavi Sameva Bisecha. That's the real thing. Avodah Zarah. You can't have Avodah Zarah in your Rishon. It's Chinesa Deraisa. So the guy was going nuts. He just bought a house and then this is Deraisa. And his backyard, what do I do? So I said, you know what? Maybe we can get some guy to declare that he doesn't believe in that Avodah Zarah. You don't even have to technically give it a kick. You can just say, ach, that Avodah Zarah, who believes in such Nairish guy? So technically, Negro didn't give me a vatla of Avodah like that. But only a goy can be a vatla of Avodah. The problem is, only a goy who's an Ovid of Avodah can be a vatla of Avodah. So you have to find a goy who's a real Ovid of Avodah, l'chol hadeh, it's not so posh, it's like, shay, to go find a bit, I'm sitting in the middle of Bergenfield, looking for a goy, knocking on people's doors. Do you believe in Avodah? If you do, you're my guy. Right? So it didn't work. We didn't do too well. I said, the good news is that we did a little research about this particular thing. Nobody really believed that it had any real powers. It was like a four-leaf clover, like, you know, rabbit's foot or something. It was a good luck charm. I don't think anyone really believed it was divine. So I said, B'shas Chaki, can be Mako. Hitaka sold the house subsequently to somebody else. I didn't ask him whether he told the next guy. I don't know, he didn't tell me whether he had a hard time selling it or not. I didn't think it didn't work anymore. But I guess because it was in his bottle, it doesn't work anymore. Okay, anyway, I'm basically getting back to the story. The Gemara says in Sahed, you can make jokes about Avodah Zarah, it's okay. It's a nuisance of Avodah Zarah, it's okay. That's not so bad. So Rabbi Sai, what's the common theme, common denominator between Bittul Chometz, Bittul Avodah Zarah, Bittul B'shishim? Bittul means when you take it off a Choshev and you say, it's not so Choshev. You thought it was Choshev. It's not as Choshev as you thought it was. What does Bittul B'shishim mean? This Gevaldige Geschmack of Pisachaz. It looked really good. Tasted really good. Got thrown to this big. I can't find it. I can't taste it. I can't see it. It's not as choshev, not as significant, not as important as you thought it was. What is Bittul Chometz? You know, the day before, I had this geschmack piece of pizza. It's unbelievable. You know, the pizza came. Some guy in a motorcycle brought me the pizza from Vaseret. It's sitting here. I'm ready. Mom's ready to eat it. It was so choshev. I was just, you know, I haven't eaten anything in a week. You know, I'm just not ready for this pizza. Kum der Pesach, now before Chatzos, libatul vehefki af diara. It's half a diara. It's not so not as choshev as I thought it was. It's a double bottle of it. What's the bitl of Edizara? A moment ago, a guy was kerem shtachavit to it. A guy was bowing down to it and again asking it to save his family. And next thing you know, another guy comes, give it that kick, that bottle. Bittul in halacha means a declaration of something that we thought was chashav, it's not as chashav as I thought it was. Rabbi, say, I have a very scary thought to share with you because there's a fourth area of bittul in halacha. What's that called? Bittul Torah. What does bittul Torah mean? Bittul Torah means when I thought Torah was chashav. We thought, objectively Torah, we thought was chashav. It's not as chashav anymore. It's not as chashav as I thought it was. It's not so chashav. That puts a shake, you know, it's not a shake. Torah. I'll share with you an insight from the Baruch Be'er. Baruch Be'er is Tam Lubach for Chaim, Rosh Hashiva of Kamenetz, one of the Gedalia Rosh Hashivas right before the war. Otad, he was Difter, Mamish. He died of natural causes. Otad, right before the Nazis invaded Lithuania in 1941. Baruch Be'er, he was such a Lamdan, he was such a brisker, that he said, and I quote, there are two dinim of bittul Torah. Who da? Two dinim of bittul Torah. Two dinim of bittul Torah. There are two different halachas of bittul Torah. So I state in Rebbe Baruch Be'er. There are two halachas of bittul Torah. There's bittul Torah of passively not learning. There's bittul Torah. And then there's an active bittul Torah. What does active bittul Torah mean? What's it between passive and active? Zok Rebbe Baruch Be'er. If you're not learning, but you're not granting chashivas per se to anything else, you're just shooting the breeze. You know, listen. Say it is over, you know. I could go and learn a little bit more after Meyer. I could, it's true. You know, I want to schmooze with the guys a little bit, you know, find that pizza again. Yeah? Do I think that schmoozing with the guys is so choshev? No. Is the pizza so choshev? No. Gotta go make a phone call. No, it's not so, I'm not giving chashivas. I'm just tired right now. I finished learning for the day. Or I'm in the middle of Seder. I take a little walk around, you know, get a little exercise, but see around it. You're not giving chashivas to what you're doing. You're just tired. You're bored. You're this. I don't have to give you enough excuses why not. You're not learning. But you're not granting chashivas to anything else per se. It's bittul Torah. It's not so bad. Don't misquote me. It's not so bad. That's bittul Torah b'shev al tasa. But then there's Zakhtar Baruch Be'er, bittul Torah b'kum v'aseh. You know what bittul Torah b'kum v'aseh is? When you start to grant chashivas to other endeavors and other things, the type of chashivas that should be given to Torah and Torah exclusively, that's a different kind of bittul Torah. That's a different chal Hashem bittul Torah. That's a bittul Torah b'kum v'aseh. Why? Because what does bittul mean? Bittul means a lack of chashivas. As long as there's nothing else that's competing for the chashivas of Torah, so I mean mevatel Torah, but I didn't give chashivas to something else. Kol's man, I didn't give chashivas to something else. That's not a chesaron in the chashivas of Torah. That's a blom d'shagdara. But the minute that I start to attribute chashivas to other things, where that chashiva should have been in the direction of Torah, it's a different chal Hashem bittul Torah. Perhaps that's what Rabbeinu Yain is driving. Ashbal birch b'Torah tchila means a lack of chashiva satira, a lack of appreciation of chashiva satira, doesn't just express itself in stam bittul Torah. It expressed itself when there are so many other things in my life that are so important. Torah is like kind of there, you know, it's on the list of things I like to do. No, that's not the way the world works. Talmud Torah and Shmiras Mitzvah, that is the essence of my existence on this world. That's why the Rebbeinu Shlom put me up for Torah and Mitzvahs. I have other things I have to get taken care of. Okay, yeah, true, you know, some of them have to be done with a little bit more time, a little bit less time, a little bit more effort, a little less effort. You know, there are Dvarim Shurashus also. I'm allowed to, you know, relax a little bit, and it's okay, and I can play ball, and I get a good night's sleep. There are a lot of things that, you know, I can talk to my friends. You know, there are things you're allowed to do in this world. It's okay, you're allowed to do other things in the world. But, chashivas, the only thing that has chashivas is Avodas Hashem. Torah mitzvah is the only thing that has chashivas in this world. Shlo berach b'Torah tchilo. A lack of chashivas at Torah. So we have two biyurim. We have a lack of the hoikot samel chulamayim, of the gishmak b'Torah, the lack of chashivas at Torah. We can begin to see what could potentially bring a Beis HaMikdash. The third interpretation is from the Beis HaLevi. Very, very famous in relation to the tradition of Beis HaLevi. It appears in his parish and the Chumash, it appears in the introduction to some of his, it appears in one of his drushes. Beis HaLevi, also, it's like his pre-brisk, his father, he was a brisk of heart. He says, you have to understand what shalobecha b'tayir tachila means. It doesn't mean that they came late to shul in the morning and they had to quickly get to Baruch Shem Asher Yishtabach and catch up to Shemoneh Esrei, and therefore they forgot to say Birchas Torah. That's not what happened. It says the Beis Halevi, there was a shita, there was a mahalach. It's very hard to fight with a shita. When people do aveiros as yetzaharas, okay, the yetzar, we all have yetzaharas. But when there's a shita involved, when there's a fakrumta approach to something, much more difficult to counteract. There was something fundamentally wrong in the mahalach achayim, in the mahalach that Klal Yisrael had vis-a-vis Talmud Torah, vis-a-vis Birch, and expressed itself in the Shlo Birch B'Torah Tchino. And it goes back to the very beginnings. It says the Beis Halevi, it goes back to the opening words of Nasev and Ishmael, and Klal Yisrael signed on to this whole thing called Torah Mitzvahs. So Chazal, a very, very famous drasha, Masechta Shabbos. At the time the Klal Yisrael mocked them, Nasa and Nishma, they received two crowns, one for Nasa, one for Nishma. What's the obvious kasha? I mean, it's only obvious if you learn Shtuk Gemara like the Beis Halevi. If you would ask me, I would have said, why two crowns, one for Nasa, one for Nishma, right? Wrong. Because if you look at the Gemara says, they got the crowns not for saying Nasa and Nishma. What did they get the crowns for? Bishar Shekdimu Nasa and Nishma. It was the saying of Nasa before Nishma that got them the two crowns. What's the kasha? There was only one act of Hakdama. The Hakdama was Nasa before Nishma. If you tell me the crowns were for the Amiris Nasa and Amiris Nishma, Zolzayin, you're entitled to two crowns. But if you tell me that the crowns were not for the Amiris Advarim, they were for the Hakdama Advarim, there was only one Maisa for Hakdama. So why the second crown? Zokta Beis Halevi, Alam de Shavar, he says, there are two dinim in Bimachdim Nasa and Nishma. One is that Nasa precedes Nishma, and one is that Nishma follows Nasa. Two alachas, Alam Shabbat, Briskitayr, Briskitayr. There's a din of Nasa before Nishma, there's a din of Nishma post Nasa, and each one warrants a crown. So I understand why Nasa precedes Nishma. That's a Gavalka crown. I don't even know what I'm getting myself into. It. I'm signed up to this whole Torah Mitzvah story. I don't know, you know, I came to this, that's why I called here and play ball all day. Oh, wow, you know, I know what happened. It's in a learning house, man. I know what's flying over here. Right? That's a big, you got yourself into something. Nasa before Nishma. What's the great, unbelievable, tremendous Mitzvah never saying Nishma after Nasa? You're already doing it all. What's the Nishma after Nasa? Zakti Beis Halevi. Imagine a world for a moment with no mitzvah of Talmud Torah. Imagine that there are only 612 mitzvahs in the Torah, and there's no mitzvah of Talmud Torah. So what would life have looked like? So we would have gotten up in the morning, we would have davened, said Kriya Shema, would have put on our tzitzis, talis, put on our tefillin, and would have gone to eat breakfast, would have made brachas and bench, and then what would have happened at 9:30? There's no mitzvah of Talmud Torah after. What would have life have looked like? So we would have started playing basketball. Well, what would have happened? So says the Beis Halevi, what would have happened? You would have gone to the same Beis Medrash, because after all, you know, around the corner in 8 months from now is going to be a day of Purim. How are you going to know how to read the Megillah if you don't learn Maseches Megillah? How are you going to fulfill the mitzvah of tefillin if you don't know how to put on tefillin? How are you going to fulfill Shabbos if you don't come to the Shabbos Chaburas? How are you going to learn Kashas? How are you going to know if you don't learn Yeredeya? So guess what? You would have learned the same Torah. You would have learned the exact same. Life would have looked identical without a mitzvah of Talmud Torah. Until a certain point. You know what a certain point is? Well, I finished Shulchan Shabbos already. I finished Kashrus already. I mastered Kitzur Shulchan Aruch back and forth. I read every art scroll Kitzur book about every halachic lamaisa topic that ever existed will ever exist till the days of Moshiach Mashiach. I got all down pat. Now where do I go? So in a world that didn't have the mitzvah of Talmud Torah, where do you go? Off to the courts. Nothing else to do. You're done. Finished. Every few months, chaza quickly. Oh, go away your Torah. Listen for 5 minutes and you'll be home free. Now this chadish one with mitzvah of Talmud Torah. Don't be salevi. What was this chadish to us in the mitzvah of Talmud Torah? You finished bracha Shabbos kashrus. Go open up Maseches Yevamos and go learn the third prayer of Maseches Yevamos. Arba achim nesu and arba achoyos. Four brothers are married to four sisters. Okay? Four brothers are married to four sisters. I can't even say it. It's like a tongue twister. Two of them die, and this one falls for even to that one, and this one's going to do chalitza in that one. Very lemaisa. I got in hundreds of nishaylas. Happens all the time, Bergen Field. Arba achim nesu and arba achoyos. I'll tell you, Maisa Shoekachoya. Those learned in Kerbyavna, those who learn Kerbyavna have an extra special appreciation for this. Rav Kamenetzky will appreciate him. He knows about Dvarim very well. I was 1 year, one of my many years in Kerbyavna, there was a discussion going on between Rav Blachman and Rav Shlomo Friedman. They were talking about, maybe the yeshiva should throw in a more Lamaisa Masechta once in a while, you know, maybe throw in Shabbos, Pesachim into the Machzeh or something. And I was sitting there, and I happened to be learning Yevamos that time. And I was chazer in Maseches Yevamos, and I was punking the sugi of Arba Achim Nesu and Arba Achoyos. Rav Blachman walks by, and he's having this debate, you know, discussing with Rav Friedman the pros and cons of learning Mol Maisa. So he says, Tzedakah, he says, looks at Arba Achim, looks at me and says, now there's a Lamaisa perek we got to start putting into the Machzak. Arba Achim, he said, that's Lamaisa, come on. Okay? Says the Beis Halevi, a person who looks at Talmud Torah through the eyes of Naaseh, he would learn anyway. The Gevaldige Chiddush of Nishma is that I finish Naaseh. I know it all the mice apart. I get everything down pat already. I go back and I learn more, and I go deeper, and I go learn stuff that's not relevant to Maisa. Naaseh ben Nishma is a Gevaldige Zach. It's Nishma post Naaseh. Even though I finished Naaseh, and I finished not just the Shmiras HaMitzvahs, but I finished the Torah that's necessary as a Hechshir Mitzvah, as a preparation for the Mitzvah. Says the Beis Halevi, without a mitzvah of Talmud Torah, the same way I have to build a sukkah in order to eat in the sukkah, I have to buy a lulav to shake a lulav, I have to learn a Shabbos to keep Shabbos, but there's so much more to Talmud Torah. Talmud Torah, says the Beis Halevi, is not just a meaning to an end, it is an end in of itself. Why am I learning Torah? As they say, why'd you climb the mountain? Because it's here. Why am I learning Torah? Because it's here, because the Rebbeinu Shalom gave it to me. It's the Torah, Hashem Yisbarach Teshem Tamima. Not because it's going to get anywhere, going to lead to anything. That's not the goal. Will it happen that it will affect my Shmiras HaMitzvahs? Absolutely. Will learning Yichud Shabbos make me into a better Shomer Shabbos? Absolutely. But Naaseh v'Nishma, it doesn't matter. When I sit down, I learn a Mishnah Uktzin, I learn a Sugyan Zvachim, I learn Abba Achim, I learn, I don't know what, Migal Haitzi, I don't know, whatever, you name the Sugya, it's not going to happen. You're not going to be a Dayan. You're not going to be sitting in a Cheshire Mishpat, and you still got to figure out what in the world you do when you have a Maron Amutal B'Safek. You learn the Torah Hashem Yisbarach Naaseh v'Nishma. That's it. Says the Beis Halevi, a person who learns only as a preparation for other mitzvahs. I'll tell you a secret. When you make a bracha on sukkah, when you sing the sukkah, not when you build the sukkah. Apidin, you make a bracha when you finish a mitzvah. You don't make a bracha on the hechsher mitzvah. Building a sukkah is a lot of fun. It's important. You got to do it. Maybe it's a mitzvah. The chaykes, the shulpas, ra, whole lumdus. But it's not the gemara mitzvah. You don't make a bracha on something that's not a gemara mitzvah. Zok Beis Halevi, shlo berch b'tayr tchila means that they didn't quite chap, that Talmud Torah is an end in of itself. Shlobirch b'tayr tchila wasn't laziness, it was a shita that why bother making a bracha on Talmud Torah if the rule it's only a means to an end? It's to become an observant Jew? It's wonderful, but don't make a bracha on that. Talmud Torah is an end in of itself. It's the end game. It's the goal of life. It is life, not a goal, but it is the essence. Kehem chayein v'rechmein, we say it every day. It is the essence of our life existence. It's the pulse. It's the air we breathe. It's everything we are. Not just because it happens to also lead to Shmiras HaMitzvahs, which it does, but just it's godless in and of itself. I want to share with you one last, before we end, something that I said over my shul this past year on Shavuos night. Before Myra, trying to get the troops rallied up. Avi remembers it. We'll hold you responsible. If you don't, it's okay. You have to take it down. Nobody knows it wasn't on White Torah. At least, I don't think anyone was taping it. It was Shabbos going to the Yontif. Hope not. David HaMelech compares the words of Torah to two things. HaNechamadim Yizov, Mipazrov, U'misukim B'dvash, U'nefes Tufim. Torah is compared to a lot of gold, very expensive metals of gold, and it's sweeter than honey. Between you and me, if I had a cup of honey, I had a plate full of gold, unless the honey was really good, I would go for the gold. You know why? Because you could take the gold and buy an awful lot of honey with that gold. So it's a cash in David HaMelech. And a chamad mizav mipaz rav, it's already more, it's already greater than zav. So it's almost belittling it. Masuk min vashim medisim. So it's sweeter than honey. It's kavachayimah. A kash if an antelim. It's greater than honey, it's better than money, greater than gold and silver, possibly a little bit of honey. So the Teretz is that it's true that you could buy a lot of honey with gold. And probably most people would prefer gold over honey. But there's something that honey has that gold doesn't have. Gold is unbelievable. Money's geschmack, don't misquote me, take me out of time. Money's geschmack, it's unbelievable. It's unbelievable. Take a $500 bill, take a bite out of it, see how good it tastes. Go enjoy. Enjoy. You're hungry. Go take a bite out of it. You're thirsty. Go take a bite out of your shekel. Go see what happens to you. Get your stomach pumped. But it's great. It's gabaldic. Money and gold and silver are wonderful, but they have no intrinsic value. And I'm not going through the sugi of Dov Shekufa Mon, Engufa Mon right now. It's not relevant. Next time we want to be paid to somebody with money, we'll talk about another time, another place. But money, gold, even gold and silver, you can't do anything with it, really. The only thing that gives it its value is the fact that people view it as having value, and I can turn it into something else. I can turn this gold and silver into a great car that I can drive and enjoy. I can turn it into a house that I can enjoy living. I can turn it into a nice vacation. But the gold and silver itself is not shame. So David HaMelech realizes, if you start to compare Torah to the Chamad Mizav Pas Rav, it's true, but you're almost belittling Torah. You're peiches in the covenant of Torah, because you're putting Torah in the same page, albeit significantly higher than gold and silver, but you're putting it in the same parsha of something which is a means to an end. The Melech takes a step back and he says, Misuki midvash v'mefes tzufim. The Torah is not just greater than gold and silver, but it's musuk also. Dvash doesn't cost a lot of money. A jar of honey costs you $2 in the store. But it's sweet. You enjoy it. You enjoy the honey more than you enjoy taking a bite out of the gold. Torah has both elements to it. Torah is nechamad and mizav. In terms of the chashivas haTorah, it's more chashav than zavi pazrav. In terms of its role as something which is intrinsically worth something, it has masak midvash, v'neifis tzufim. Licked in this pasuk of nechamadim mizavi pazrav, masak midvash, v'neifis tzufim, of both dimensions of the second and third pshat, shlo birch v'tayr tzula. And Rabbi Yisai, and the first pshat in birch satayra, the fact that it has to be something that I'm running for, I'm thirsty for, I need, that's a nechamadim mizav. You know what sachmoid, you know what chemda means? Ibn Ezra writes, on the sachmoid means that a person has to think that something is shayach to him. He gives this famous mashal about, if I'm this hillbilly, country bumpkin, some hick somewhere, I don't think about marrying the princess. You know why? She's not on my radar screen. That's what Lasachman means. Somebody else's car and house is not on your radar screen. To be chaymit something means, I think it's shayach to me, and I'm going to do everything in my power to get it. Hanechamad mizav means, and all other things in the world is nisav Lasachmaid, on Torah, there's a mitzvah of to be chaymit. Chomid mor, hanechamad mizav. Run after it, drink it with thirst, with gishmak. You know why you have to be chaymit Torah? You know why you have to drink it with such thirst? Because it's nechamad mizav. Cheshivos is greater than all the value of all the gold and silver in the world. And it also has that other mile of Misukim Midvash, that it's sweet, it's intrinsically chashav, it's a nishma post-nasa. So licked in this small mayim b'chazal, shalbercha b'tayr t'chila, is the essence of everything we're all about. If you want to know what can bring down a base of Mikdash, it's not adhering to these three dimensions of Talmud Torah. What can bring down a base of Mikdash can rebuild a base of Mikdash. If you want to know what role we can have in Meheri Yibane HaMikdash, is perfecting ourselves in these three ways. To be Chaymi Torah, to drink it with thirst, with a geshmak that warrants making a bracha. To understand and appreciate the Chashivas HaTorah, and when other things vie for that Chashivas, to know what the real Dvarim Chashivim in this world are. To understand that Torah is an end in of itself. Not to fall into that trap of thinking, Torah is just to get me somewhere. No. Torah gets you a lot of places, but Torah is the end all in of itself. Kadosh Baruch Hu should give us, all of Klal Yisrael, siyat d'shmaya, to once again be mevarach b'Torah t'chil in the proper way, and through the mitzvah, birchas haTorah, and everything that stands for, the Heri Bonah.